لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله، لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome to the program Tawheed and the Creation, exploring the book The Big Bang, The Amazing Human Body, authored by Barasali Mani. And this evening we are continuing our look at the human body, and we are going to a molecular and even below molecular level, exploring the makeup of the human being. In previous programs, we had explored the idea of atoms, and we are looking at the ability of the human body in terms of its cells, in terms of its genetic makeup, how that operates, how that maintains systems and processes within the body. So, Barasali, if we look at where we are now, and we had spent some time on cells, talking about the information stored in cells and how that information is able to continue to duplicate as cells age and they pass on that information. We see that the information is maintained within the cells and the structure of the body is maintained and the processes continue. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. Muhammad Fasikh, that to me is one of the great signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. You have a female egg and a male sperm that forms together to form one fertilized cell. It lives, it breathes, and it does everything that living matter does. One cell. Extremely, extremely, extremely small. Not visible to the eye. How that one almost invisible cell duplicates itself. One cell splits itself up, creates a copy of itself, and it goes on and on and on till eventually you have 40 trillion of them. And they combine and they form the various organs and the tissue in the body. But every single cell has the same code, the same information, the same blueprint contained in each single cell that the original fertilized cell had. That is an absolute, absolute, absolute miracle. Now, you can explain it scientifically how it happens, but you get to a point. But how is that information of what the human body will eventually become as a complete human being, that it started off with one cell duplicating itself and multiplying and becoming photostat copies, exact photostat copies at one stage of the original cell. That is a clear, clear, clear miracle. Now, some of that information we have it contained in the form of genes or the DNA of the actual cell and the human being. And that DNA, a gene is something that determines the quality or characteristic of what the human being will actually have. Now, if you think of a human being, you will look at its eyes, and there's lots of things that makes your eye unique. If you look at your ears, your hair, your color, your size, and even things like your ability to respond to certain illnesses, every single thing, in fact, about the human being is placed almost in a code that says the human being will become this. What is this? That this is contained in the blueprint, which are made up of all these tiny minute genes that are contained within these very small cells. And we said it's 2 meters long and there's 40 trillion of them.
Subhanallah. I think if we make a comparison between the human body and a computer, with that amount of information, a computer needs to have a bigger hard drive in order to be able to store more information and to process more things. Here we have a human body that is self, in a sense, self-containing of all of these processes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in place and maintains. And it is something whereby you never have to program it. Like with a computer, sometimes you have to do diagnostics. If you have a device that has computer element built in, sometimes you have to have a technician come and plug into it and check if everything's running all right. But yet human beings, even animals and plants that exist in this world have the ability to continue running without a technician coming along and making sure the coding is right.
Subhanallah, Muhammad Fasih. And if you look at what needs to be coded, what needs to be organized to perform the trillions of functions. There are literally trillions of functions that the human body performs that we are totally, totally unaware of. Now, the amount of data, if we were to compare it to a computer, that's stored in a cell, the scientists have calculated that to be 1.5 gigabytes. Now, 1.5 gig is not something to be sneered at. If you look at people who want to buy memory sticks, then they get a 32 gig flash drive, and it contains X amount of information. Now, if we look at every single cell contains 1.5 gig of memory, then you multiply that 1.5 by how many cells in the body? Muhammad Fasih, how many cells in the body?
40 trillion cells.
40 trillion cells. Each cell has 1.5 gig of data stored in it. So how much data do we have in the total of 40 trillion cells? 60 billion terabytes.
Whoa. Whoa.
60 billion terabytes of data is stored in the cells of every single human being. Let me repeat that. 60 billion terabytes. We said gigabytes. 1,000 gigabytes gives you 1 terabyte. Now 60 billion terabytes. Subhanallah. That's when we talk about the human body, we're actually talking about so much information that's in the body, which must be organized, controlled to perform the various functions. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what every single piece of information, every bit of information must do, and Allah ensures that it does exactly that for 60 billion terabytes in one human being. Multiply that by the population, and you will get to a staggering amount that will make you fall off your chair.
Subhanallah. I think people can only hope for a fraction of that for all the movies and all the CDs and stuff that they save on computer. And yet the other body is storing so much information, which keeps the cells doing what it's supposed to be doing. But Sally, even if we look at the genetic makeup of a human being, are we then saying that the color of your hair, the color of your eyes, or where your hairline is at the moment, the color of your skin, all of that is also contained within that memory bank, basically?
Yes, it's almost like the code of instruction for the body. So you have this fertilized cell from where it starts off, and from that very point onwards, it goes through a process of getting its instruction of what it needs to become. So eventually, every single aspect of what the human being eventually becomes is contained in that blueprint. The cell cannot do its own thing. It's waiting for an instruction, and that instruction is coming from the DNA and the genes within the cells, which tells us, for example, I'm going to lose my hair, start losing my hair at a certain age. I will have sinus not only the color of my eyes, and I won't be so tall, and I'll be a skinny person, which I am. That's been part of my DNA. Now, some of it is hereditary. It's passed on. Hereditary means it's inherited from your predecessors. And sometimes it skips one person and you find it present in another person, like a person who had an ancestor who had blue eyes. You might find a child having blue eyes 2-3 generations later. And the parents mustn't worry about that to ask whether somebody has been unfaithful. It could be that somewhere in the genetic makeup, that information was stored and only became a factor much later, a few generations later. But that all that information is stored in the DNA of a person. So scientists have now tried to go into finding out what gives a child the color of the eye, which gene within the human body gives children that particular trait. And that's where it became a little bit more complicated, the whole thing about genetic re-engineering and so on.
The voice of Badisari Mani. This is the program Telkhin in the Creation, exploring the book The Big Bang, The Amazing Human Body. We are reflecting on cells and the genetic structure of the human being, the genetic makeup, and all of those processes that maintain the data that runs the human body, subhanAllah. We're going to go for a break. When we come back, we will continue. Stay tuned.
La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome back to the program, Tawheed and the Creation, exploring the book, The Big Bang, The Amazing Human Body. We're on to the second part of the book, where we're looking at the human body. And before the break, we were speaking about cells and the amount of information stored within each cell, and the fact that 40 billion terabytes could be filled with the data found in the cells in the human body, subhanAllah. Now, if we think about that, Budasari, and we think about the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is maintaining all of the cells, all of those processes simultaneously, and Allah has knowledge over all of these, so how do we then link this back to Allah's attributes?
The first thing, Muhammad Fasih, is to realize that Allah, and acknowledge that Allah is the creator of this entire universe. Every single cell that we've spoken about, every bit of information that we have referred to, the data that we have referred to, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about every single thing. There is no point at which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not know what is going on in the human body. And every single thing has been created for a purpose. There's nothing in the entire universe that Allah created without it serving a purpose. Sometimes we don't know what the purpose is. At one stage, people were saying there's no purpose to the appendix. I don't know if you remember, there was a discussion at some stage because they couldn't find. Latest research have shown that they now understand that there's a very specific purpose that the appendix serves. But what the point is here is that the amount of information is one thing. But Allah keeps together. Allah doesn't only know. Allah makes sure that it performs the function that it's supposed to perform. It's under the divine instruction to only do that which for which it was created. It cannot go outside of that. Now, when we understand that, we get to know some of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And part of the reason why we have been instructed to look for the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, We said we can't know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we can know the sifat and the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the first thing that we must do, we must start recognizing some of those sifat and names when we look around us, and especially when we look at some of the things that we are talking about, the body. We must search for these signs, and then one of the things that we must do is know the sifat, search for the sifat, and then try and extract something from that sifat that we can practice in our own lives to make us better people. Now, one of the things that I know, we've been talking about billions and trillions and zillions and whatever figure. And some of these figures are so huge that our brains can't actually fathom. And what we must realize is, I've actually consciously included all these figures. Some of the people who advised me that said, I mustn't put in all these big figures because people can't, they get lost. I've consciously put it in so that we can understand how insignificant our brains are, that our brains can't even think beyond a trillion. Even a trillion. Some people quickly ask them, how many noughts are there in a trillion? They have to think, how many noughts are there in a trillion? But if you talk about trillions of trillions of trillions, it demonstrates how insignificant our brains are and how truly great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, not just only to know everything about everyone, bit of that information, but also to be in control of all of them, all at the same time. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. But Asadi, if we look at that and we understand that as human beings, our thinking capacity is limited in terms of the ability to think like that, I think the key thing then is recognizing that when we try and limit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our thinking to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do, just to realize that Allah maintains every aspect of life down to the most minute level and the very fabric of existence. So what is my request? What is that little request to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is that little dua that I'm making to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And how small it is of a task for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do, as opposed to the vastness of this universe that Allah easily and effortlessly maintains.
Subhanallah. Allah can give us whatever we want. Now you're going to say, yeah, but I make dua, and I've made dua, and I've made dua for certain things, but I didn't get it. There are times when we make dua for things that's not beneficial to us. Allah knows what is beneficial to us. Allah knows when to give us certain things and when not to give us certain things. And we'll speak, if time allows, at some point we'll speak about the question of dua and how dua can change decree and how we must approach the question of dua. But for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us whatever we want is absolutely nothing, as you've just indicated, because Allah controls every single aspect of this entire universe without assistance from anyone or anything. And Allah does it without it decreasing Allah's ability in any way whatsoever. So Allah powers this universe, but Allah's power doesn't reduce. So Allah gives us sustenance, it doesn't reduce Allah's ability to give us more sustenance. So Allah can do whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, but Allah's wisdom is the one thing that forms an umbrella over everything. Allah has a certain role that we have to play, that Allah has designed. We have a certain role to play on this dunya. We live and we have to choose between right and wrong, and we have to account for it, and we make dua for certain things. If I must be honest, most of the things, 99.99999% of the things that we ask of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are things that relates to this world. We ask for cars and house and food and wives and husbands and children and whatever else. And as a by the way thing, we ask for taqwa and iman. And when we ask for taqwa and iman, we don't actually concentrate and link it to the effort that goes with asking for taqwa and iman. And those are things that maybe we should actually at some point make time to just briefly discuss that aspect. But for Allah to give us Muhammad Fasih is very easy. And we should always turn to the one who controls everything, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala controls the difficulty and the solution. That's in Allah's hands. Allah creates the illness, but Allah is also the one who has created the cure for the illness. So the only one that we should ever turn to is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because every single thing in the entire universe, every single cell, every single atom, every grain of sand is under the direct control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Sadi, we've come to the end of another exciting episode looking at the human body. And next week, inshallah, we will be touching on the human ear. This is for me amazing because as an entity that's involved with sound, we look at producing sound from a specific point of view. But imagine something growing naturally, that is able to not produce sound, but record sound. That's able to send impulses to the body, that's able to translate that sound without digital manipulation, without devising or creating a device to be able to pick up sound. A human being is born with this ability, subhanAllah. So this is exciting going forward that we'll be looking at this particular topic.
Yeah, Muhammad Fasih, just to make a comment that leads into to this next week. Yes, the reason why I actually included the human ear and the human eye, it's actually not in the book. I must apologize for this. So I would ask people who are interested in this to not depend on the book, that they can go back to the book, because I've included this after I had the request to appear on the radio, for the simple reason that the eye and the ear is something that we can relate to directly. It's something that we're very familiar with. And those are the two organs in the body that we gather information from, through our sight and through our hearing. And to understand and make the link to the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hopefully go a long way to assisting us to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
But Sadi, shukran so much once again for joining us. All the best and have a fantastic evening further.
Shukran Muhammad Fasih. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and bless everyone who's involved in the radio station as well as all the listeners out there. Shukran for allowing me the time to appear on this program.
Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And from myself, Muhammad Fasih Peterson, till I speak again, inshallah, I bid you assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah and have a fantastic evening further.
La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah.